a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Utilities Commission, August 12th, 2013. It's approximately 11 a.m. We are in room 414 of the Capitol Building in Pierce, South Dakota. My name is Gary Hansen. With me today are Commissioners Christy Feagin and Chris Nelson. We will first check the phone to see who's on with us today. Steve Dome, Central Farmers Co-op, are you on the line? I'm not hearing anything. Mike Traxinger?
Yep, I'm on.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Steve, we did not hear from you yet, in case you have your phone on mute.
Steve Dome just joined.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, the purpose of this ad hoc meeting, commission meeting is for rulemaking. We have docket RM13-001 before us in the matter of the adoption of rules regarding grain warehouses and grain buyers. The commission is proposing changes to its grain buyer and grain warehouse rules. We won't be reading all of those today. We have held hearings on it. We've received written information and comments on it, and we will consider those at the end of this hearing. We may, I assume, take action today. The commission may modify or amend any of those proposed rules based upon the testimony or information that we've had at the hearings. The question before us today is, shall the commission adopt the final rules? And first we'll go to public comment at this juncture. Is there anyone in the audience wishing to provide any additional testimony to the commission? I see none in the one. Please come forward. When you testify before us, just simply state your name, and you can state what town you're from or whatever, approximately. Appreciate that. These mics are not real sensitive, so except when we say something we shouldn't.
All right. I'd like to give the commissioners a one-page handout if I could.
Sherry will distribute that. I think the letter's been distributed to everyone now. Please proceed.
Well, I haven't had a chance to go through everything. I missed the last meeting.
I just ask you to, we know who you are, but just for the record.
Oh, Ray Martin Moss, representing Martin Moss Dairy, M6 Ranches, Martin Moss Realty, Mean Woman Ranch, etc. But my concern is a portion dealing with voluntary credit once again. And as I understand it, you're looking at changing the rules to go back to the old way of 48 hours. And in the handout I gave you, you can see that, and Mr. Smith is aware what the judge's decision is, that to change that part, you have to go to the state Supreme Court or the legislature. So, this is why I'm here. I don't believe 48 hours is enough to determine voluntary credit. If you end up on a weekend and Monday's a holiday, well, then you're out. And the farmer, if he doesn't sign the contract, as I understand it, to the proposed rules, he's given up his control of the grain. And that just doesn't seem right. And once he goes to voluntary credit, he now is the last one to be paid. Should there be a failure, as we found out in Anderson, The farmer is an unsecured creditor once he gives voluntary credit. Now, I don't know of any other business this occurs in. I don't understand the term voluntary credit's used anyway. The elevator is acting as an agent for the farmer. When I haul cattle to the livestock market and unload them, I've turned my cattle over to the livestock market. And if I'm wrong, Mr. Nelson can correct me. He's a rancher. The livestock market is acting as an agent to sell my cattle. When I leave that sale barn, I have a check in my hand. Now, most of that occurs on the same day. However, I do send cattle in days earlier because of weather conditions, whatever. And they're acting as my agent, and they're still going to pay me. If they don't, well, there's serious consequences. If a grain elevator doesn't pay me, there are no consequences. There's no criminal consequences, no civil consequences. I talked to Victor Fishback on the phone this morning, state's attorney for Spink County. I said, Victor, how are we doing there, buddy? You know, the judge ruled that I didn't have voluntary credit with Anderson Seed Company. Therefore, they stole my sunflower seeds because I haven't been paid. And I want criminal charges. I want those people brought to court. Well, Ray, you know, the law is such that I don't think we can do that. Why not? They stole my sunflower seeds. It just seems that these laws are written for the elevators and the bankers. And I'd like to know how they benefit the farmer. The elevator gets our grain, gets to use it as collateral because they have control of it. Whether they pay us or not doesn't make any difference, does it? We have no recourse. We can talk about the bond, but the bond doesn't affect us on delayed payment or forward contracting, does it? No. So we have absolutely no protection in this whole mess. Now, Judge Porta made a ruling. And, you know, 30 days, I know, you know, it seems like, oh, that's a big problem for the elevators. The big problem, you know, the farmer can't get it signed, can't get it back, whatever. Well, he had a stipulation in there that on the 31st day, the grain was sold and the farmer got a check. Maybe a check for a little bit is a lot better than a check for nothing. So, I'm asking the commission to reconsider that part of the proposed rule changes. And I will be asking the legislature this year to change the law so that farmers become secured creditors on their grain. I guess if you know, we have a problem here, I guess I'll go back to Redfield. See Judge Porta again. Are there any questions for me?
Thank you. Are there any questions?
I just have one quick question. You were giving your analogy of the cattle. Is it my understanding you can do that with grain, too? You can just do a cash sale instead of a volunteer credit sale and yes, just get paid right there?
You can do a cash sale, but you aren't paid right there. Everybody's under the misconception that, well, you sell your grain, they got to give you a check right away. No, they don't. I can haul a load of grain in right now to any elevator and say, hand me a check, and they aren't going to hand me a check. And I can quick call up you guys and say, hey, I just hauled in this elevator and I didn't get a check. And I might start doing that on every load of grain. And I would expect you to investigate it to your fullest. Get out there, go through their books, question them. Why didn't you give Ray a check when he asked for it? So,
but just a quick follow-up question with Jim. Is he He might not be here. Maybe it's John. Oh, there I see you. When do they have to write a check for cash sales?
The law says that we have a payment on demand statute that says if a producer brings grain in, prices it, and sells it, that he's entitled to demand payment at that time.
Immediately.
Correct. So if we had a complaint from a producer who said that they demanded payment and were denied it, we would do as Mr. Martin wants.
And have we had complaints, and have we followed up and had remedies?
I really have not had bona fide complaints of non-payment.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Commissioner Nelson?
I've got one, not for you, Ray, but for counsel. When Ray was talking about, you know, the problem with weekends and holidays, the statute that talks about the appropriate way to count time would exclude weekends and holidays, but I guess my question is, would that apply to this rule? And I apologize for catching you off guard with that question, but, I mean, Ray raises a good point. And my presumption is that that statute that talks about the proper way to count time would apply, but I don't know.
I don't have those things here. The one statute I'm familiar with is in the Rules of Civil Procedure, which states that any time limit that is less than 11 days, you only count legal days. And if you're concerned about it in here, I mean, maybe one thing you could do is to state that explicitly in the rule, that only that it's got to be 48 legal hours of a legal day, of a business day.
Well, I know there's another statute that talks about time less than 7 days that you don't count weekends and holidays, but I didn't bring that code with me. So.
Well, and that's what this Title 15, and again, there may be another one in the general stats that I'm unaware of, that I just can't cite off the top of my head. The one in the civil rules, and I can't remember the exact citation to it now, but it's 15.6, whatever. And that always used to say 7 days. It was amended in 2006 to 11 days. I think it was 2006.
No more questions. Thank you.
I helped my grandpa on the farm a lot, but I never hauled any grain in. Aren't grain elevators open on Saturdays and sometimes Sundays?
And on Sundays during the peak harvest hours, yes, they are.
Well, so it wouldn't really matter from the standpoint of whether it was we excluded Saturday or Sunday then?
Well, you know, I guess, you know, if there's holidays in there and mail's not delivered, et cetera.
I'm just looking at it from a standpoint of if we can say Saturday and Sunday are included just because they're Saturday and Sunday, then and it's still open, then basically we're saying 4 days. And if we can say 4 days, we can say 4 days.
Well, 48 hours, 4 days. The problem being, you know, you're limiting the farmer to make a decision there. And if he doesn't make a decision, then he automatically loses control.
Okay. Thank you.
And the judge made a ruling of 30 days in writing. If he doesn't sign it and return it within 30 days, on the 31st day, the grain is to be sold.
Yeah, that's based upon present rules and law.
Right. Well, that's the way the judge interpreted, right. You know, and he said, the remedy is, you know, last paragraph, party believes my decision is an error. appropriate procedure is to appeal my decision to the South Dakota State Supreme Court. Of course, the other remedy is to encourage the legislature to amend the law so that it will say what those in the industry think it should say. So I guess your proposed rule changes, is that law? Because the judges said you had to amend the law.
Rules are promulgated based upon the law, and this is an official rules hearing process that would then, after the rules have been adopted or approved by us, they would then go before the legislature. The legislature has its process to approve the rules that we, and occasionally they don't approve the rules for some reason or another, and they come back to us maybe for style or whatever, and then we send it back to them. So the legislature does, in essence,
have to approve
our rules, yes.
Okay. And that'll occur when?
I assume that it will be approved during this legislative session, but they have a committee that goes through the process of approving rules.
And that is scheduled for the 20th of August, that hearing before the Legislative Rules Review Committee.
Okay. Will they take public testimony at that time? Okay.
The answer is
so
yes.
Right now, even if you accept what the grain elevators want, it still would not go into effect.
It goes into effect once they have been approved through the legislative process.
Okay. Which would be the 20th of August, coming up pretty quick.
Well, that's a committee that reviews it and approves it. I believe then it goes before the legislature, doesn't it? It does not.
The rules will become effective. If the Rules Review Committee approves the rules, then we file them with the Secretary of State, then they become provisionally effective within 20 days. So they would be effective this fall.
And then that's considered amending the law?
Amending the rules.
I think... Well, the rules have the force of law once they've been properly promulgated and approved by the legislature's committee.
I'm just saying, and you have a copy of, you know, it says amend the law. It doesn't say amend the rules.
Well, I think we're playing with semantics there from a standpoint of what Judge Porta said. The law stipulates how rules can be promulgated by state agencies and by state boards and by the PUC, by commissions, and we follow that process. And the PUC is a creature of the legislature, and when we promulgate rules and regulations, they have to be approved by the legislative process. And we abide by that law. Now, yes, you could probably go before the legislature and have a legislator introduce a law, and that's an entirely different process. But it's there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. I guess.
Well, that's true. You know, as I'm finding out, dealing with people. It's here.
Yeah, this is a proper process for rulemaking, though, and we're following it.
Okay. Well, I'm still a little confused on rules and laws, but I guess, once before I was confused and we went to court in Redfield and the judge explained it. So, and you understood it, Mr. Hansen.
I'll be tongue-tied for a moment.
I don't give him any compliments.
I'm well aware of that.
Gary, I'd take that one and run with it.
So I guess with that, then I have nothing further.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Barnes. Is there anyone else who wishes to give testimony today on this hearing? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission. Kathy Zander with the South Dakota Grain and Feed Association. And I just am here before you to do a little follow-up on our letter of comments that we brought to you on Thursday. We're here to comment on the Rule 2010-12-13. I think the only part that's had much controversy in your proposed package. What you're seeing is the bill brief of the bill that we introduced in 2009 that changed the 57A that's been referred to, and that your rules are trying to coordinate with 57A. Again, this passed in 2009. There were no votes on any of the committees, on any of the House floor votes. In fact, testifying in favor was Steve Dahm, South Dakota Grain Feed Association, South Dakota's Farmers Union, Public Utilities Commission, the South Dakota Agribusiness Association, the South Dakota Association of Cooperatives. Again, this passed in 2009. We've had no problems. The 2 days has not been an issue. With VCS contracts, there's not a price in the contract, so I don't know what's being debated here about, you know, the amount or the time of delivery. And what 57A, what our intent was to legalize or enforce a verbal contract. There are so many contracts being made over the phone, and we just wanted to make sure that we actually protect the farmer's right to make verbal contracts, to save him from having to get off the tractor, come into town, and sign the contract. That's what all 57A was. Again, it was in 2009. There's been no problems with it. And, again, that's all I have to add unless you have any questions. Okay, thank you.
Are there any questions? Thank you, Kathy. Anyone else wishing to testify? Anyone on the phone wishing to testify?
Yes, just one. This is Mike Traxton, South Dakota Farmers Union. Just one quick comment, if I may.
Please go ahead. Thank you for calling in.
I appreciate the opportunity to be on the phone today. Just some further clarification on, I know that there's been some discussion with regards to what rules apply with regards to it. Does it include the weekends or not? In our request, we had said that we would like 5 business days. The assumption there was that weekends would not be included. Looking at general civil rules of procedure, generally those are not included with regards to these issues, and just wanted to make sure that I clarified that. So thank you.
So, Mike, you're saying that weekends would not be included in the 5-day?
Correct.
All right. Thank you. Are there any further questions of Mike? Seeing none, anyone else wishing to testify before the commission at this time?
Mr. Chairman, I do have a question of our counsel on some written comments that we received.
That's fine. We'll go to commissioner questions then, since no one else is testifying. Thank you.
In the written comments, it talked about delivery of mail service, and it talked about sometimes it takes 5 days and for delivery of service out in rural South Dakota, especially out in the Northwest. Is it my understanding it's when the letter is received to your home, correct?
Yes, that's what the statutory language
states. That mail delivery question in those comments.
Right, and the rule language, yes, we use the same language. It's receipt. And again, proof of receipt's likely to be an issue in some of these, but that's what the rule talks about.
But there are certainly circumstances in South Dakota that it takes more than a day or two to get your mail, and the court would certainly look at that.
Yes.
Thank you.
And again, a grain buyer has the ability, if he wants to have proof of receipt. If he wants to. If they want to spend the money, a little bit of extra money, they can do that. And all you got to do is send it registered mail, you know, and then the postman who delivers it signs a certificate that it was delivered on that day. So, but then again, people sometimes they're not home, you know, and so again, I guess I'm interpreting receipt as probably you actual receipt, but that word is kind of a tough word in a way.
Any further questions of anyone by the commissioners? Seeing none, is there a motion on the rules? I would first like to take the LRC has made some minor recommendations. If we could have a motion to adopt those, or if there's some question on those. There a motion?
Mr. Chairman, move that we adopt the LRC style and form changes.
Thank you. Any discussion on that motion? Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. Next, I'll entertain any motions or discussion from the commissioners.
I would move that we adopt the rules as proposed with the LRC style and form changes.
Okay, we have a motion. Discussion on that motion?
I first want to say thank you to staff for putting together what I consider to be a very solid set of rule proposals for us. I think they cover the area that needs to be covered. I think it does it well. I appreciate the comments from Farmers Union and others dealing with the issue of the 2 days versus 5 days. And I will say I don't disagree with your argument that 2 days may be too short. But as I indicated in our last hearing, I'm very reluctant to stray from the 2 days that is already established in statute. I believe that as we promulgate these rules, we need to stick as close to what the legislature has already done, and therefore the 2 days is in fact appropriate in these rules. If at some point the legislature changes the statute, then I think we probably need to revisit this rule. But for today, 2 days is in the statute. I will say Farmers Union attempted in their written testimony to differentiate the statute from the rule that we are attempting that we're going to adopt today. And I appreciated those comments and that attempt to argue why they should be looked at differently. But I really think in the long run, we need to stick as close to that statute as possible. And I think when we go in front of the Rules Review Committee, they will look favorably on that and will appreciate the fact that we've stuck with what the legislature has done. And so with that, I would encourage adoption of the rules. Thank you.
Any further comments? Commissioner Fegan?
This certainly has been a hard one because you want to give farmers and producers that extra time to open the mail and look at it, but I think there's a way we can do that, and I think there's a way that we can go to the legislature and have them, first of all, do it in the law, and then we can promulgate the rules according to that. So if that's our intent, we can certainly do that the legislative route, which Commissioner Nelson has talked about. Just a reminder, and I think producers across the state have learned that you can always do a cash sale. And volunteer credit sales sometimes are benefits for producers for tax reasons or whatever the case may be for that producer, but you can always do a cash sale in South Dakota, and we will work very hard to make sure that you are paid in a timely manner. And you have, I'm sure, all three commissioners' word on that. Also, volunteer credit sales, just a reminder that it is certainly quantity and the delivery and not necessarily the price. So that has been kind of information that has been misunderstood kind of during this hearing.
Thank you. The Anderson bankruptcy really exposed some weak links in the laws in South Dakota. And during the last legislative session, the Public Utilities Commission, to a great extent under the leadership of Commissioner Nelson, attempted to, and I believe corrected those, and I think that was borne out by the challenges we had with another grain elevator later on, and in fact kept all of the producers from being injured during that process, and came out with a very clean bill of health, a quiet, it was a noisy challenge with a quiet resolution, but I think it was to a great extent as a result of the work that was accomplished during the legislative session. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that were injured under the bankruptcy that Anderson had, and part of that challenge is to also make certain that our rules that are adopted go towards ensuring that producers as well as the businesses are not injured. I really struggled with the two-day or five-day. From my perspective, I think there were very good arguments, excellent arguments on both sides. And I was actually thinking that there might be a compromise of some sort of, you know, 3 days or 4 days or something like that. But from my perspective, we need to make certain that we're not in a situation where, with oral arguments, someone can say, well, I didn't say that, or you didn't say that, or, you know, we don't have proof of that, and that sort of thing, and we end up in a situation where that has to be litigated. So the nice thing about the rules and regulations and laws that are made by human beings is that those can be changed. And if there is a significant challenge from this, then we get to try to refine them. Years ago, when I was in the legislature, they often said that for every law that is passed, we need to make need to pass three or four more laws in order to correct the challenges that were created by that law. Hopefully, that's not the case here, because there are a lot of rules that we have just passed or just are approving, about to approve, and I think it's for the betterment of the industry and hopefully to save a lot of folks from a lot of grief in the future. So appreciate very much all the work that everyone did in putting this together, from our staff as well as from the citizens that participated in it. With that, any further discussion? Hearing none. The motion then is to approve the rules that we have adopted with the, as proposed with the LRC amendments as passed earlier. Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. The rules are approved. We will send these up to the LRC, and that hearing again is on the 20th of August, I believe.
Yes.
And that will be here in the Capitol building. Do we know a time?
Can't remember. It starts at 9 or 9:30.
Okay, and I'm sure that'll be...
I think it starts at 9.
Okay.
Be able to find that on our website. Thank you all very much for attending. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
I don't need a second. Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. We are adjourned.